You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We've been talking about a series called Words with Friends based on the app or the game that you can look at on your phone or your iPad or whatever you got and play. It's basically modern day Scrabble is what it is. And so we've been talking about this Word with Friends for the past few weeks. And our word today is going to be the word growth is what our word is, that we're going to grow. That's what we want to talk about. But somebody asked me, I said, well, how did you come up with these words? And what I did is I prayed and spent some time in prayer and asked the Lord to give me some words that we could talk about as a church. And then the words have some packaging of how they go together. And I told this person this, and they said, you know, that'd probably be good for the church to know. We just thought you were picking random words just based on the week. So let me tell you where these words with friends come from and what it's about so you'll know our progression here. I'm a man with a plan, typically, so I got one on this too. We had our words of holiness, of kindness, of power. Well, those are three words we've looked at, and those are words about God. Then we have today talking about growth. Next week, we're going to talk about lust. It's going to get a little hot in the kitchen, so lower than middle school, you might want to think about that. So talk about lust next week, and then patience is what we're going to talk about. And those are three words about us. So if we learn about God, now let's learn about us. Then we'll talk about revival, sharing Christ. That'll be two words with friends. We'll get double points for that. And then worship. And we'll talk about with those three, that's showing what's our purpose. So we've talked about God because everything begins with God. What's he about? What's some words about him? What's some words about us? And then what's some words about our purpose? So today we're going to talk about growth. I want you to say that word with me, growth. One, two, three, growth. You and I both want to grow. We want to grow. That's a desire we have. We understand when we see growth. When we plant a tree, we want to see it grow. When we plant a flower, we want to see it grow. When we put money in retirement, we want to see it grow. We want to see these things happening in our lives. Is there a house in your family somewhere that if I was to say, imagine the sounds of that house, you could imagine what that back door sounded like closing. You can imagine what that sliding glass door sounded like closing. My grandparents' house is that house for me. You could give me the smell of their house walking in the back door, and I could go, the aroma of 30-year-old carpet. Ah, that's my grandparents' house. It's awesome. I can know every little bit of it. I could tell you how many steps it would take to get the refrigerator. I could tell you where the TV was placed, what kind of plates would come out when it was time to eat. So you'd walk in this one place where you get to the two bedrooms. There was three bedrooms, these two that they're most familiar with. You'd walk in about three steps, and to the left would be my grandparents' bedroom, and to my right would be the bedroom I would stay in. It had little bunk beds in there. Right ahead was the bathroom with the bathtub, and then there was a little closet door there, and you always had to keep these two doors open of these two rooms because there was a window unit in my grandparents' room that if you close one of the doors, then the airflow wouldn't make it, and it'd get hot in the middle of the night. Never got cold in the middle of the night living in the South, right? It always gets hot in the middle of the night. And so you had to have the window unit door open, and I mean, I can picture it right now. I can feel the feel of those hardwood floors, all those smells and sounds, just a great place. Well, the bathroom's right there, and there's a closet right there. You could take one step into the closet. You can't take two steps in the closet because it wasn't that big of a house. Just take one step in the closet. And right there to the right in the closet, there's all these little marks on the wall because when I would go see my grandparents, my grandfather would always take me in that little closet, and he would make me stand up against the wall. He'd put a dictionary on my head, and he'd measure me on how tall I was getting. And he'd write it with a pencil, and then he'd put it with pen, and he'd say, Greg, you'd be so encouraged. In the last year and a half, you've grown a half an inch. You're going to be another short mott is what you're going to be. It's going to be great. Last year, in the last 5 years, you grew 2 inches in the last 5 years. This is awesome. This is great. So I would measure myself right there. He would measure me with the dictionary, a red dictionary on my head, and a little mark line. I could still remember those days. They both passed on, my grandmother and my grandfather. I wish we'd have cut out that piece of sheetrock, taken it when we sold the house. Wouldn't it be great if you could just put your heels against the wall and someone can measure your spiritual growth? Wouldn't it be amazing if you could put your heels against the wall and you could measure your emotional growth? We can't do that, though, can we? And if we could, our spiritual growth, it would end up becoming legalism and pride, wouldn't it? We'd go, well, here's my mark, and I did this, and I did this, and you're shorter than me, and you're taller than me, and it would become that. But we could do that physically, but how do we do that spiritually? We can't really do that. But we can discuss ways that we grow and ask the question, if we were to put up in our heart our heels to the wall, are we growing spiritually? Are we growing emotionally? Or have we, like we do as adults, we've planed out physically and we've planed out emotionally as well? I want to talk to you about growth and what it means to grow. We're going to be in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 is where we're going to be. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, I want to give you three words about growth. We love growth in our church. Our strategy of how you walk with God more deeply and greatly is this, that you gather our hearts. We gather our hearts. That's in a large setting. That's Siena, Cypress, downtown, the Loop. All of us to gather our hearts in worship. We grow our souls. That primarily happens in life Bible study and in discipleship. So we want to grow our souls in smaller groupings. And then we want to give our lives in missions. We want to give our lives and our resources. And if we put those three-legged stool, we've got a really secure Christianity. We don't want to just gather. We want to gather. We want to grow. We want to give. And all three of those things happening, everything's going to be good for you. You're going to walk with the Lord deeper and stronger in that. So we're talking about the grow section. I shared this first part of this with our leaders of the Grow Ministry, which is our life Bible study leaders, of defining what is growth, what does this thing really mean? I want to tell you a couple things about growth, and then we're going to jump into 2 Peter. Let me tell you three things about growth, and then you can decide, do you really want to grow? First thing is this, growth hurts. Growth hurts. We have to face our insecurity, and we have to face our insufficiency. To really grow, we got to say, you know what, Lord, I don't know everything. I need more information. To really grow, we say, Lord, I don't have the emotional strength. I need to go to you in prayer, and I'm going to get on my knees and my face before you and weep before you, God. To really grow, growth hurts. We've got to face things. We've got to change things. Everybody wants to be skinny, and nobody wants to go to the gym. Everybody wants to be smart. Nobody wants to read a book. And what happens is, why? Because that hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. You'll be sore the next day. It'll make you change your schedule. You have to figure out how to reorient things. Growth hurts. It's a good hurt. It's a hurt that moves us forward, but growth hurts. To grow as a leader, I've experienced this in my life tremendously. To grow as a leader, there's got to be tension. There's got to be painful moments where you make a bad decision and you grow from that decision. Growth hurts. To grow your money in retirement, it hurts. Why? Because you can't spend it today. You got to give it to someone to help you or whatever you're doing with that for tomorrow. And you got to look, it hurts today so that it can grow tomorrow. Growth hurts. We have to realize that going in. Listen to this poem. It's called Good Timber. The tree that never had to fight for sun, sky, air, or light, that stood out in the open plain that always got its share of rain, never became a forest king, but lived and died a scrubby thing. The man who never toiled to heaven from common soil, who never had to win his share of sun, of sky, of light, and air, never became a manly man, but lived and died as he began. Now listen to this. Good timber does not grow in ease. The stronger the wind, the tougher the trees. The farther the sky, the greater the links, the more the storm, the more the strength. By sun and cold and rain and snows, in tree or man, good timber grows. Where the thickest stands the forest growth, we find the patriarchs of them both. They hold converse with the stars, whose broken branches show the scars of many winds and much strife. This is the common law of life. I love that phrase. It says, good timber does not grow in ease. The stronger the wind, the stronger the trees. Growth hurts. Do you really want to grow? It's going to hurt. Number two, growth heals. Growth heals. We grow to a new place. When we grow in the ways of the Lord, it heals the ways that we've been thinking that are incorrect. It heals the worldviews that we would have that are incorrect. We are able to discover Christ more. Hurt begins to be healing. Growth heals us. As I learn more about the scriptures, it helps to heal me more in the way that I think. The things that I've been wounded about, God can take those and he can heal me in those things. Growth is a place of healing. It's a place of healing. And so we want to grow so that we can hurt. Yeah, it hurts. But at the same time, when we face those things, now we can truly heal. And many of us are lame because we haven't let God heal us emotionally or spiritually. Because we're afraid to take these things to the Lord to truly grow. He's going to heal you. He's going to heal your heart. Number three, growth helps. Growth helps. God has more to do in us and through us. So growth helps me when I'm growing, and growth helps you when I'm growing. Growth helps you when you're growing, and your growth helps me. God has more to do in us and through us. Therefore, we want to grow. We don't want to just put our heels to the wall and be stagnant and say, okay, Lord, I got it. I memorized John 3:16. I show up to church on occasion. I try not to use really bad cuss words, and I'm good. No, growth helps. We need to make a difference in our world. We need to make a difference and glorify God around us, glorify God with those around us so that they can see the shining light, the greatness of God in us. Growth hurts, growth heals, and growth helps. Pablo Casals is a world-renowned cellist. At 95 years old, a young reporter asked him a question. He said, Mr. Casals, you're 95 and you're the greatest cellist that has ever lived. Yet you still practice 6 hours a day. Why do you practice 6 hours a day if you're the greatest cellist that ever lives? And this is what Mr. Casals says. He says, because I think I'm making progress. It's still helping him and others, and he's still growing and getting better. And if your heels are against the wall and your measurement is just fine with you and everybody else thinks you're tall enough, well, God may want to do something deeper in you and deeper through you than you ever imagined. Now let's ask the question, how do we grow? If we realize it hurts, if we realize it helps, if we realize it heals, how do we grow? That's where we pick it up in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, or chapter 3. Chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. It's the last words that Peter's going to give us. Remember Peter? Good old Peter. Therefore, what's that therefore? Everything he said in his last two books. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you are not led away by the error of the immoral and fall from your own stability. So he's saying, I want you to grow. I don't want you to fall. Verse 18, here's where we get it. But grow, underline that word in your Bible, grow. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. How do we grow? We grow by two things. We grow by grace and knowledge. Grace and knowledge. Now, the first one is grace. Grace means that we have to fail, right? We want to fail forward is what grace means. Grace is failing forward. Now, think about this just a little bit. The word grace has in it failure, doesn't it? You don't need grace when you're perfect. Grace happens when the measurement's here and what God wanted was here and there's a gap between it. So we have the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We have the grace of the Lord in our lives. Someone shows us grace. Grace has in it, baked in the word grace, is the word failure. You've got to fail to receive grace. Now, if we're going to grow, we're going to fail. If we're going to grow, we're going to fail. Who likes failure? None of us. But if we're really going to grow, we have to take our failures and give them to the Lord. So I want you to say a really encouraging phrase. You'll be so glad you came to church today after I give you this phrase that we're going to repeat. You ready? Here's the phrase that you're going to say. I will fail. You ready? Isn't that encouraging? Here we go. Let's say that together. 1, 2, 3. I will fail. Do you know that's true? You're going to fail in parenting. You're going to fail in relationships. You're going to fail in conversation with your spouse. You are going to fail. But here's the deal. Fail forward. Fail in a way that you grow from your failures. John Maxwell put it like this. He said, fail early, fail often, but always fail forward. Fail early, fail often, but always fail forward. I've failed in things that I should have been kinder in my conversation with my wife, and I wasn't. And I failed, and I've grown from that. See, what you learn after you've been married for a while is when you're newlywed, you don't realize this, and newlyweds take notes. Here's the deal. Just because you think it doesn't mean you need to say it. Just because you think it doesn't mean you need to say it. And sometimes we'll say it, and then what happens? You're like, why did I say that? I should not have said that. And World War III happens in your kitchen, and then you realize, and you start saying things, she starts saying things, back and forth, back and forth. And in that, you end up hurting one another. And then you realize, I don't need to be like that. I've learned from failures. I've learned from selfishness. Now let me try to be selfless and let me try to be kind. We learn in parenting. There's times we apologize to our kids. I'm sorry I got mad at you like that. I had a tough day and I took it out on you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said yes when I should have said no. I'm sorry I said no when I should have said yes. We learn, and all of us are so afraid of failure. It's okay to fail. You know how I ended up teaching, and hopefully you get something out of it? By teaching a lot of times where nobody got anything out of it. That's how. You fail, you get up there and you try, and you give it your best shot, and you go for it, and the Lord can use it. Grace is a part of growth. You will fail. I will fail. I have failed. I'm going to fail. Does that mean I'm trying to promote moral failures? No, I'm not. I'm just saying none of us are perfect, right? But the grace of God can carry us. But the grace of God can carry us. Say that with me. But the grace of God can carry us. Peter tells us, grow in the grace, not in the perfection, in the grace. You and I need grace. We will fail. And here's the thing, though, in our society. We don't like failure, so what do? We blame everybody else, don't we? Instead of owning up to it ourselves and going to the Lord and receiving the grace and actually growing, we say, okay, I failed. Who can I pin it on? So let me, you know, it's my parents' fault. If my parents would have done this, I wouldn't be like that. I heard one guy say it like this. He said, you know, some people show up and they say, well, my dad's an alcoholic and that's why I'm a jerk. And the guy said, well, maybe your dad's an alcoholic because you're a jerk. Maybe it's your fault. But we're going to blame our parents, aren't we? If we can't blame our parents, then it's got to be the school system, right? It's got to be the school. It's got to be those teachers. Those teachers are making way too much money, having way too much fun. I mean, come on. It's got to be the school system. It's got to be the teachers. Well, if it's not the teachers, it's the politicians. If it's not the politicians, it's the actors in Hollywood. If it's not the actors in Hollywood, it's the rock musicians. I mean, you know, somebody, but not me. Let me tell you what, America, wake up. If we own up and say, it's me. I'm the problem. And I'm going to turn to the grace of Jesus Christ. Now we got heart change. But instead, we want to blame everybody else. And I just want to tell you, if you're going to grow, quit blaming everybody else. And take the responsibility on yourself. And you know what? Your parents didn't give you a whole bunch of stuff. Great. Rise up and walk with God. And let Him do great things in you. You didn't have a super duper whatever? Cool. It'll look more like God because of that. And God will shine even greater. We grow through failure. And parents, we are protecting our kids from failure and blaming everyone else. Your kids and my kids need to understand failure. Our failures are often God's victories. See, here's what you learn, students. When you don't study, you get an F. When you're not prepared in work, like not prepared in study, you get an F. When you're not prepared in work, you get another F. It's called fired, is what it's called. And if we protect you from over here, then we're protecting you from over here. And parents, there's going to be a moment they're not under our roof, and everybody else doesn't love them like we love them. And they need to have learned the strikeouts underneath the roof of our homes, to understand and appreciate the home runs that God may want them to hit later on. But if we overprotect them from failure and always rescue them, guess what? We are raising people that will never grow. They're stunted in their growth. So grace is failing forward. Michael Jordan, you ever heard of him? How'd he do? This is what he says. I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and I missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. Walk into a shoe store today, and you'll see Air Jordan everywhere. He hadn't played in who knows how many years. The legacy still lives, though, because his failures were turned to successes. I've failed a ton of times, and I'm going to fail a ton of times more. I have a choice, though, and you have the same choice. When we fail, we have a choice of guilt or grace. Guilt or grace? And when we choose grace, we're choosing growth. Grow. from the things that go wrong. Evaluate and grow. Number two, knowledge. We grow from knowledge. Verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We grow in knowledge. Knowledge is deeper intimacy, not just deeper intelligence. Now, here's where we've missed it a little bit as a church and the church and all of us as Christians. We think that deeper intelligence brings spiritual growth. Do you know that there are people that are biblical scholars that are atheists? Biblical scholars that are atheists. Now, I think that's a bit silly. You ought to get a new job, you know, but there's really not any atheist scholarship, so they had to choose our scholarship is what it is. You should laugh at that. Biblical scholars that are atheists, people that are filling their head with knowledge. It's not about memorizing the order of the books of the Bible. It's not about knowing the whole lineage of Abraham to, you know, on it goes. It's not about all those things. It's not just give me more, give me more, give me more information, information, information. Christians don't need more information. Christians need more intimacy with God. And deeper intimacy with God is the place that we truly grow spiritually. You can know all of it up here. You can have a whole bunch of knowledge up here, but if you don't have intimacy here in the heart, knowledge in the head, intimacy in the heart, I'll choose intimacy of the heart every single time. Doesn't matter if you know how to pronounce all these crazy names in the Bible. Do you know the name of Jesus and love him well? Knowledge, knowing the Lord in its best definition, is not knowledge here. It's not the SAT for Jesus. It is knowledge of knowing God. I have no idea what my wife's third grade teacher's name was, but I know her well because of the depth of conversation we've had over almost 17 years now. I don't need the resume. I want the heart. She wants not my resume, the heart. And God is calling us, if we're really going to grow, it's intimacy with him. It's intimacy with him. That's where the place of knowledge comes. Now, let me give you Warren Wiersbe's quote from the Bible Exposition Commentary. This is what he talked about, the head versus the heart. Listen to this. This is very insightful. In my pastoral ministry, I have met people who have become intoxicated with studying, quote, the deeper truths of the Bible, end quote. Usually they have been given a book or introduced to some speaker's tapes. Before long, they get so smart, they become dumb. The deeper truths, quote unquote, they discover only detour them from practical Christian living. Instead of getting a burning heart of devotion to Christ, they get big heads and they start creating problems in their homes and in their churches. All biblical truths are practical, not theoretical. If we are growing in knowledge, we should also be growing in grace. We can get too big for our britches, can't we, when we start just knowledge up here. Knowledge is intimacy with God. So let me give you four things of how to create intimacy with God. Number one, you talk. It's called prayer. Talk to God. Ask God to do great things in your life. You pray and declare to him, I'm growing in prayer. I want to grow in prayer. I want to be a stronger man of prayer than I am today, than I was yesterday. I've been fasting in prayer. I've told you this before. I want to sound like a broken record to you. It's changing my life and has changed my life. Every week I fast at least a meal and I give it to the Lord. Make that a part of your life and give that to prayer and call out to God. But here's what I found in my prayer life. You know what I found in my prayer life? I talk too much. It's time for prayer. What do? Bow my head, clasp my hands, close my eyes. Dear Lord, I just prayed. I take off. Sometimes I don't even get to real prayer till like three sentences in, right? I just have my normal blah, 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 blah. So what I've been trying to do lately is just stop and be silent before the Lord before I start praying. We've got a church-wide devotional we've been doing, and I read different places and different times with it, and I'm kind of off kilter probably with it, but one of the places that I marked was week 20 on Thursday. It's called Attuned to God. And this is what it says. Many who pray are not aware of this because as soon as they enter into their secret chamber, they begin to speak at once to God. Don't do that, my friend. Take plenty of time before you speak. Let quietude, I'd never heard that word, quietude. Let quietude wield its influence upon you. Let the fact that you are alone assert itself. Give your soul time to get released from the many outward things. So what I've been doing lately is I'll just sit. Say, Lord, I'm here to be with you for a little bit. And I'll just be quiet for about a minute and a half. You know how long a minute and a half feels when you're really quiet for a minute and a half? And I just say, Lord, let me realize I'm alone right now. No, that's in the other room. I'm with God right now. God, let me get on my iPad. And oh, I was going to read my Bible, but boy, there's certainly a lot of other things to do on this thing. No, I just got this. Now, let me start by talking to you, God, about how big you are. See, you're one of two different kinds of people. You're either a person with big problems and a small God, or a person with a big God and small problems. You're one or the other. And I want those times with the Lord to get me more on being a person with a big God and small problems, because I'm challenged. I bounce. And I talk to God. And I pray. And I call out to him and let him know the greatness of who he is first. And then I get to my stuff. And when I see the grandeur of him, I'll see the minusculeness of Greg. Number two, we listen. We listen. God speaks through his word. We turn to places of scripture and he speaks through his word. Well, if you don't know where to start in your Bible, here's it. Here's how you do it. You can do this your whole life. Pick a New Testament book. You need to pick Old Testaments also, but let's start in the New Testament and pick a book of the Bible and read a chapter a day for the rest of your life. Just do that. You'll be great. Be awesome. God speaks through his word. Here's the order of how God speaks. God speaks through his Bible, number one, his spirit, number two, and his people, number three. How do we like to do it? We want to reverse it. God, speak to me through your people. Let me call a friend. Then let me find a verse of scripture, or let me pray about it and see if I like that. And then I'll find a verse of scripture to make sure that that's all good, right? He speaks through his word. He speaks through his spirit, and then he speaks through his people. But we go to his people and say, what do you think about that? Well, I think you ought to do this. Well, good. Awesome. Let me pray about it. Dear Lord, I'd really like a warm fuzzy because that sounds good. Awesome. I got a warm fuzzy. Let me find a verse of scripture. Okay, that verse of scripture will work. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can use that one for everything. Sure. I can use Jeremiah 29:11 for I know the plans that I have for you, the plans to prosper you, declares the Lord. That'll work too. I'll put that one in there. And then if it doesn't work out, I'll throw in Romans 8:28 and I'll say, you know what? Here we have now all things work for the good of those who love Christ Jesus. That'll be great. I'll put these all in my refrigerator and I'll do my own thing and I'll ask God to bless it. And then when he doesn't bless it, I'll get mad at him and I'll leave the church. Why? Because it's my fault. Somehow then you blame me, right? Because we don't take guilt or we don't take failure. We just got to find somebody to blame. It's my mom's fault, my dad's fault, the pastor's fault. No, listen to God through his word. Get in this book. People died for it. We in our church, we love the Word of God. We teach the Word of God. We have life Bible study is what we call it because we believe in the Word of God. We've also been helping. This is a Bible, a New Testament for the Nukumanu people. I know you know where they are. I didn't know where they were. But they're in the South Pacific, northeast of Australia with the seed company. You and me at this church, we help translate the New Testament for these people that didn't have a Bible. We help pay for them having a Bible. Is that cool or what? Yeah, it's awesome. This one here. For Tanzania, mainly Muslim area, we for 380,000 people in their translation didn't have a Bible. This is a New Testament. We also helped translate this Bible so that our church paid for this. So when you think, well, I'm giving and they're just keeping the lights on and these fancy things going on. No, we're translating the scriptures for people is what we're doing. Because we believe in the word of God going out in a powerful way. Listen to the Lord. One of my struggles, just being transparent, where I'm trying to grow. I'm great, if I can say that and still be a humble person. I'm really good at quiet times. I don't miss my quiet times much. I usually spend a couple times with the Lord each day. I do miss at times, but usually I was driven in me as a high school student spending time with God every single day. I do pretty good on that. I believe in missions, in God's view of the world. I do pretty good on that. I'm a giver. That's not a struggle for me. I'd rather give it than spend it. That's not a struggle. You know what's a struggle for me? Scripture memory. Because I get so much of it on the go as a pastor. I quote all sorts of scriptures, but I mean the reference and the real quote. I got to work on that because I get so much on the go. And that wasn't really a part of my upbringing. People said, scripture memory, scripture memory, scripture memory. So I'm trying to memorize scripture now. And you know what? It hurts. It's hard to do that. My verse this week, Joshua 1:8. You know what it says? I don't either right now. It says, do not let this word of instruction depart from your mouth, but meditate on it, recite it day and night, so that you would be careful to do everything that it commands, and then you will prosper and succeed in everything you do. That's what I want to do. Yeah, y'all shouldn't applaud me on that. I'm terrible. But I want that. I'm trying to grow. I'm just trying to be transparent with you, that to be able to say, I'm growing in this too. I want the Word of God in my mind and not just on the go. And I'm growing in that. I'm reading a book right now, the 100 verses every Christian should know, to be able to say, what are these verses? And in my pride, I look through, I'm like, I already know those first 26, you know. Now I want to know these in my heart and store them up in my heart. Listen to God through His Word. Number three, live, apply your faith. Apply your faith. Don't just let it be here. Take it out there. Apply your faith. Walk out these things of the faith. Number four, place yourself in a position to grow. Place yourself in a position to grow. That you and I would put ourselves in positions to grow. Run with the eagles instead of the chickens. Be with the people that the Word of God's coming out of them. Put yourself in places where the Word of God is taught. And take notes and listen to podcasts and understand what God's doing. Listen to webcasts. We have all sorts of things all throughout that you can get it from all over the world. Put yourself in places to grow. And as you put yourself in places to grow, here's what's going to happen. You're going to grow because you're going to position yourself to grow. Here's how much time that if you just spend 1 hour in church a week, here's how much of your week is spent in church, okay? I'm just trying to get this illustration of growth. 1 hour out of 168 hours. How much are you going to grow if that's all you're getting of the Word of God? That is 0.5% of your life is the Word of God in your life. You're not going to grow. Am I for church? I am totally for church. But church combined with Bible study, combined with daily time with the Lord, combined with scripture memory, combined with walking things out. I'm going to tell it to you as straight as I can tell it to you, in love as much as I can tell it to you. If you're not spending time with God daily, you're not going to grow in Christ. Period, paragraph. You can fake everybody out by trying to mark your own lines, but you're not going to know the intimacy of God, and you're not too busy for God. And if you're too busy for God, you're just flat out too busy. 1 hour out of 168 is not going to grow you in the ways you want to grow in the Lord. And you're going to be emotionally and spiritually stunted for a long, long time until finally you can find somebody to blame to get it off you. But here's the deal. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. And we've got to place ourselves in positions to grow. And you and I want to grow so that we could be a cellist that they could say when we're 95 years old, well, why do you still read the Bible? You've read that like 20 times. I feel like I'm making progress. I feel like I'm making progress. My grandfather, I called him Pop. And I'd stand up against that wall, and every time I'd see him, he'd measure me at the house. But every time I'd also see him, he'd give me money. That's probably why I liked him so much. You know, it's good. Grandparents, bribe your children or your grandchildren. That's good. So every time I'd see him, he'd give me money. He'd give me a $2 bill and a $1 bill. And then my dad would not let me spend the $2 bill because I'd have to save it, because that $2 bill might be worth something someday because it's, you know, kind of special. You know how much worth a $2 bill is worth these days? $2. The $2 bill that he gave me 35 years ago, it's still worth $2. So I pulled my Pop aside and I said, Pop, we got to make a deal here. My dad's taking the $2 and making me save it, and I'm only getting $1. You can't buy that much with $1. So can we do something different? So then I moved up. I got a 2 and a 5 is what I got. And I thought I was high cotton at that point. I had $5 to go and spend. He gave me those $2, and I found a few months ago this envelope, you know, as we moved and moved and moved and moved and moved, I found this envelope, and it had in it about $60 worth of $2 from my grandfather. And one of them that I kept, I spent the rest of them. One of them I kept said this on it, Greg from Pop. Greg from Pop, 1976 series of a $2 bill. I'm not gonna spend this one. This one's worth more to me, right? I'm keeping this. My grandfather's handwriting, remembering those days. You know, when I was a little kid, $2 seemed like big money. $5 seemed like big money. Now that I'm an adult, I realize $5 and $2 really won't get you that much, will it? See, what used to be satisfying to me, I've grown past. I need more now. It takes more now. I've grown past the $2 of my grandfather given to me. And I wonder if you are living on $2 Jesus, spiritual $2 Jesus. And God wants to grow you past. Are you ever going to join a church? Are you ever going to be baptized scripturally? Are you ever going to share your faith? Are you ever going to give your life and your resources to the Lord? Are you ever really going to read this? Are you ever really going to memorize this? Are we ever really, really pray? Not just little kid prayers, like really pray? Or will we just be satisfied with blaming other people and not growing? God wants more for you. God wants more for me. So that when we stand in heaven, he'll only measure us by Jesus, and it'll be completely grace. But on earth, we have an opportunity to keep taking steps of growth. Won't you say the word with me, growth, one more time. 1, 2, 3, growth. It's a blessed, wonderful word, my friend. Let's grow together as we even respond to the Lord now.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.